Testing 1, 2, 3. All right. Can you hear me? Only the front row. Off the back. All right. All right. Yay. Okay. Finally, Joel chapter 3, our final in the series of the book of Joel. It's a very depressing book, as you can tell. But you know, it's so much treasure we can learn from the book of Joel. After the book of Joel, we're going to have a short break. Next week will be Mother's Day, then followed by Pentecost Sunday and Trinity Sunday, very important dates in our church calendar. And we're going to start a brand new sermon series on the book of Hebrews. So it's something for us to look forward to. Okay, so the book of Joel. Have you guys been reading it? How do you find it? It's only 3 chapters. Is it really heavy, right? Even if you think reading is difficult, preaching from it is more difficult. It's really challenging. And so just a quick review, the first 2 chapters. So today I'm going to touch on, the last 2 Sundays we talk about desolation, about judgment and so on, and especially the day of the Lord. Yeah, and remembering God calling us to assemble together to pray and to lament. So the subsequent chapters are on the promise of deliverance and promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, followed by judgment of the nations that were against Israel, and lastly the eternal blessings for God's people. So we're ending on a more hopeful tone. Okay, so. But today, I'm just going to focus more on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as well. And the title for this sharing is God Who Judges and Restores. He judges and restores. You know, when we talk about restoration, I can think of this picture. This is a picture of a city in Germany, which was bombed heavily by the Allied forces in 1945. And then that's after. Can you see that restoration? And of course, in Aceh, when the tsunami hit that region more than 10 years ago, I think it's 2004, and they took a picture of this 10 years later. So that's, you can see that kind of rebuilding, that restoration and so on. And this is something more dramatic. So when the tsunami hit, it was great devastation. Thousands of people perished. And 10 years later, the people came together and restored that land. And this is a picture of Aceh. It was taken about 2 years ago. You know, when you think about restoration, you think about places, nations, and so on. And you also think about yourself, of restoration. So I was thinking of doing like a makeover, you know, a picture of before and after. Do you guys like to look at pictures of before and after, you know, like before the makeup and after that? Or maybe someone who's not so healthy and then you have a six-pack and so on. Yeah, so I couldn't find a picture of myself. This is me when I was... yeah, this is more like the before, after, that's the after. Yeah, because that was me when I was 16 years old, 17. I was thinner back then, yeah. But I want to show a picture of this because my life, this is a picture of me before I knew Jesus. I came from a Christian home, but we were not very devout. And God was far from me, yeah. He wasn't in my picture, He wasn't in my mind. And I felt a bit like in the book of Joel, desolation, barren. I allowed the locusts of the world of life just to eat me up. And I would classify myself as lost. And I share with you, I think many times, about my conversion story. I came to know Jesus when I was about 21, during my army days. So guys, if you're going for army, that's where you meet girls and where you meet God. Why I say girls? Because that's where you learn other stuff. Okay, let me not go on into that, but that's where I met God in army. And so I was restored. No more barrenness, no more desolation, no more locusts. And that's me, the one in white. And the one in red, that's Kenneth. That's two of them are hiding away because their father is there. So I was baptized with your father, Kenneth. Kenneth, oh, not this Kenneth, another Kenneth. Oh, yes. So I was baptized 1996, yeah. So, and I felt the restoration of God. He restored me. I was reconciled to God. I was really far from God, and He reconciled me. And in a way, that was like a before and after, right? I was restored. He judges me. Because when I came to know Jesus, I was convicted of my sin. I was really convicted. And I knew that I can't live a life without God. I need God's forgiveness, and I need God's love. And I came back to me. I was fully restored. And so, now we start with Joel chapter 2. On that picture of Israel being judged, desolation, barren, and God out of His mercy, because the people came to humble themselves and came back to God. They were lamenting. And in chapter 2, verse 17, this is what the people, the minister of the Lord, they cry out to God, and it says here, "Spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, 'Where is their God?'" And in verse 18, "Then the Lord became jealous for His land and had pity on His people." That shows God's mercy and His compassion. Verse 19, "The Lord answered and said to His people, 'Behold, I'm sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations.'" So a picture of restoration. He will pour out His goodness, His blessing. And I like that verse, especially when the Lord said, He became jealous. We always see God as somewhere very, very clinical, right? God is without any emotions. But this word jealous, in a way, out of compassion, of that longing, that deep, deep longing, that deep love for His people. The Lord became jealous for His land and had pity, had compassion on His people. And even right now, when you think about it, the Lord is jealous for us. And He's showing sympathy, He's showing compassion for all of us. If we are far from Him, He's jealous for us. He's deeply, deeply jealous for us. And His desire is to pour out His blessing, to restore us, to bring us back. As I shared, before I was a Christian, I was far from God. And when I read these verses, I'm so thankful that God never gave up on me. He was jealous for me. And He had pity on me. And He brought me back to Him. The next one, as we continue. So there was outpouring of oil, wine, and grain. So there was restoration in the land. At the same time, the Lord was going to punish the enemies of Israel. And this is what verse 20 says. "I will remove the northerners far from you." So it's referring to another nation from the north. "And drive him into a parched and desolate land. His vanguard into the eastern sea. His rear guard into the western sea. The stench and foul smell of him will rise, for he has done great things." So even the so that kind of picture of tearing apart the enemies to the north, east, south, and so on. So the Lord judges our enemies. The Lord is jealous for us. He is for us. And so on. And as we continue in verse 21, "Fear not, O land." It's referring to Israel. "Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Fear not, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree, the vine, gave their full yield. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and later rain as before." If you remember the prior chapters in Joel chapter 1 and 2, there was barrenness, there was fire, there was calamity, there was so much barrenness. So there was a physical drought and spiritual drought. But now here God is saying, rejoice, do not fear, be glad. And He's going to pour on rain. Rain after rain after rain. And in verse 23 says, "Early rain and later day rain. Abundant rain What is this early rain and later rain? In the region of Israel, they say there's two rainy seasons, one in spring and one later on in fall. Yeah, and so this rain are necessary for agriculture, for harvest and so on. And when there's no rain, there's no food, there's no agriculture and so on, no harvest. So the people of Israel look for this rain. And they see this rain as a rain from heavens, pouring out our dry, barren land. And some people even talk about this later day, this later rain as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which later on we'll talk about. And verse 24, it says, the threshing floors shall be full of grain. So there's so much food. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. So there's abundance. So the God who judges is going to restore. He's going to restore Israel. And verse 25, I will restore you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I send among you. So God who sent another nation to judge Israel, he has heard the prayers of the people of Israel, the lament, the confession, their humility, and he had pity. He was jealous for them. So now he's restoring them. And verse 26, I like this verse a lot. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. So there's judgment. Often we don't like to use the word judgment. None of us here like to be judged or scolded or reprimanded. But when the Lord judges Israel, he wanted something good that comes out. He wants repentance. He wants them to return back to him. And when they return back to him, he restored them. He's not a vindictive God who say, see, that's what I say, right? I told you so. I know some of us like to say that when you advise your good friend, don't do this, but they choose to do it, and see, and then they come back crying and see, I'm in a bad relationship. See, you didn't listen to me. You deserve it. But God isn't like that. He restores. He welcomes us. He accepts us. So when we receive judgment, do not feel that sense of condemnation, because we have that hope in God. As I shared earlier on, before I was a Christian, I was judged. I felt judged. I was lost. That was my judgment, that sense of desolation, that sense of meaninglessness. Just now, Kenneth led us in that beautiful song, that reward. My reward, I was looking for eternal reward, and I couldn't find it. Because I was looking for physical reward, material reward, reward that the world gave, but in the end, the locust eats them away. And I felt judged. But I pray that all of us, when we look at judgment from God, do not look at it negatively, but see that there is an act of compassion and mercy from God, because he wants us to return back to him. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. After knowing Jesus, after he restored me, I was satisfied. And I was able to praise the name of the Lord, my God. And the verse says, who has dealt wondrously. You were to remove that, replace that word dealt with, judge, or reprimand, or disciple, or whatever word you want to say, or refine. That's a very interesting adjective, isn't it? Wondrously. That what God is doing to you right now, I do not know what situation you are in, what circumstances. It could be, in a way, like a desolation or barrenness. God is dealing with us, what the verse say, wondrously. Because there is something good will come out from it. On our part, we just need to learn to be patient. And just do not run away from it. Just continue to stay with God. Because he's dealing with us wondrously. And after that, after being we satisfied, we have all this wonderful food, right? Hallelujah. Then verse 27 and 28. Verse 27, it says, "You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never be put to shame again." And verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit." So God judged us. God judged Israel. He restored them. And then He poured out His Spirit, blessings. He poured out His Holy Spirit on all flesh. That's what the verse says. Your sons and daughters, your children as well. And He didn't neglect the older people. Even the old men will get it as well. They will dream dreams. I dream often as well. And the young men will see visions. Amazing, isn't it? He will pour out His Holy Spirit on all flesh. And of course, hundreds of years later, in the book of Acts, in the day of Pentecost, that fulfillment came about when the Holy Spirit came upon the early disciples. In Acts chapter 2, have you ever wondered how many people were up in the upper room or when the Holy Spirit came onto the people? The book, Luke, recorded for us, 120 people in that room. And when the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 says, the Holy Spirit came like a mighty wind. And they start to break up in tongues and so on. He poured out his spirit on those 120 people. Let me read for you that that account in Acts. Yeah. In Acts chapter 2, so when the Holy Spirit came, they started to speak in different languages and so on. And so Acts chapter 2, verse 12, "And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' And others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11 apostles, lift up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what has uttered through the prophet Joel.'" And he quoted that from Joel chapter 28. "And in the last day it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So again, and of course, in that account, it was a fulfillment of what Joel prophesied. The Holy Spirit came and everyone started to prophesy. And if you continue to read the book of Acts, thousands were added to their numbers. The church grew, it exploded. We need the Holy Spirit. Back then, the Holy Spirit is a promise from God that we will, and He will pour on all flesh. The Holy Spirit is not only for the church leaders or for the clergy or for if you are super Christians, or it is for all flesh. That's what God's promise for all of us. "And on my male and female servants." So it's not only for a certain gender, only for the males, for the patriarch, but for everyone. And for the young and for the old, for everyone. We have access to His Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. We can't live a life without the Holy Spirit. And in Ezekiel, also talks about this as well. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, it says, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Back then in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, they were all obedient. There was the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he anointed, the Holy Spirit anointed the kings, the priests, and so on. But in a way, it was only for a select group of people. But Joel said he will pour his Spirit on all flesh. And in, during the days of old, people were obeying the law of Moses, even to the letter of the law. And it was, they obey out of fear, out of reverence, out of love. Yes, you can say that. But generally out of fear. But God is doing something new. And the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, it was a brand new covenant. Not a covenant of outward circumcision or outward obedience to the law. The law is very important. But he's looking for something more, he's deep, looking something more deeper. That is inward. So it's not just external obedience or external rituals, but an inward working of the heart. And you can't do that. You cannot bluff it. You cannot, smoke it. It needs to come supernaturally. And it only can come from the Holy Spirit. Only He can circumcise that heart. He can change that heart of stone to a heart of flesh. You know, when I mentioned I grew up in a Christian home. I even had, someone gave me a Bible. I even read the Bible. It was a Good News Bible and there are little pictures. You know, as I read the Bible last time, before I had the Holy Spirit, I thought it was just a bunch of fairy tales. It did not speak to me. After I was born again, after I received the Holy Spirit, everything looks clearer, you know, like putting on new specs. Woo, whoa, clarity. And it's a supernatural encounter. And even obeying God, it's not out of fear or because this is what Moses said, but because I want to please God, I want to love God. His, my love, is my desire to please Him. I had a heart of stone, but the Holy Spirit changed me to have a heart of flesh. And that is accessible to all of us. Yeah. You know, salvation. The church job and responsibility is to proclaim salvation. But there's a process to salvation. First of all, is justification. I think some of you have heard of this. Justification, when you receive Jesus into your life and you are justified, God has declared you justified. You are set apart. Because you have accepted Jesus into your life, you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you are justified. You are no longer condemned. But that's not the end of our spiritual journey. We need the Holy Spirit. And that comes from sanctification, the process of holiness. You and I are being sanctified right now. All of us may have a heart of flesh, but we sometimes allow the locusts in the world to eat it up, to distract us, to tempt us away. So we need the Holy Spirit in this process of sanctification. And ultimately, the end goal is glorification. We will not sin anymore. It is the completion of holiness where we will meet God face to face. Later on of the day, I'm planning to go for a wake service for someone I know. I knew about his death only on Facebook. Yeah, we were not very close, but I knew him. He invited me to speak at his church and so on. Yeah, he's in his early 50s. He passed away of cancer. And he will share his journey, his cancer journey, on Facebook. You know what's Facebook, right? Some of you, most of you don't use it anymore. Okay. And he will share the Bible verses that spoke to him, that encouraged him, and so on. And he will take selfies with his family and so on. And I thought he was progressing well. And I thought God was healing him. So when I saw that, I think it was his wife who posted it. So it's like he's the one who's posted, but he has passed on. He has gone home to be with the Lord. So he posted the wife posted his wake details, his funeral details. And when I think about it, he's glorified. He's no more pain of this world. In that sense, his holiness is completed. He's meeting God. And, you know, in spite of his illness, cancer did not define who he is. He always had great hope in God, even as he shares on his Facebook and so on. So, friends, our journey on earth, we are now still being sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit. Here's a quote from a pastor, John MacArthur. He's an author as well. He says, "To be sanctified is to be made holy inwardly, and to be able in the Spirit power to live a righteous life outwardly." We need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, sanctify us. Sanctify us. So Joel did not end with that. If you continue to read on, he said, so God will pour out his Spirit, and in verse 30 he said, "And I will show you wonders in heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood." You remember last year there was this big hoo-ha about the blood moon. Have you heard of it? Yeah. And they say Jesus is coming again and so on. So before the great, in verse 31, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. So Joel is talking of another day, a day of judgment. Remember, Israel was judged, restored, God poured out his Holy Spirit, and now God is telling the people of Israel, guess what? There's going to be another day of judgment, the day of the Lord. But this time is different. Verse 32, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be safe. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. And among our survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls." So there will be another time of judgment. But this time, people will be safe if they call unto the name of God. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be safe. So can you just think about it? So outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then another day of judgment. But this time it's different. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help us, will guide us, will empower us. And when is the day of judgment? Tomorrow. No one knows. But of course there are signs. Jesus talks about the day of judgment as well in Matthew chapter 24. And even in Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul talked about this day of judgment. It will be a day of signs and wonders and so on. And in chapter 3, Joel said, and then again, the nations will be judged. The enemies of Israel will be judged. But this time it's different. Verse 36, it says, "The Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel." This time is different. It will be a judgment that is universal. The whole world will know that the Lord is the Almighty God. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came as a baby. He was born in a manger. Very humble beginning. The day of judgment comes. There'll be signs and wonders. The moon may turn red. There'll be eclipse of the sun and so on. There'll be great suffering. nations will rise against one another. But if we have the Holy Spirit, we have nothing to fear. And that's what the verse says as well. The Lord is a refuge of his people, a stronghold to the people of Israel. He's also a refuge to all of us. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be safe. That is his promise. So this is my last slide. This is my prayer for all of us. As we wait for that second coming. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came as a baby. He's coming again. He's not coming as a baby or like a baby warrior, no. He's coming, the Bible says, he's coming as a warrior king. The book of Revelation, he's coming on a white horse. He's going to be, and there's going to be a banner. It says, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's coming to judge the wickedness of this world. And for us as his people, we have nothing to be afraid. We're actually looking forward to his second coming. In the meantime, while we wait, what do? Sanctification. We're in that process of holiness. God is refining his church, he's refining his people. Because when the day comes, when Jesus comes, we as the church, the bride of Jesus, will be holy and beautiful. We'll be welcoming our Lord Jesus. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Lord, pour out your Spirit. I'm going to invite the worship team and we're going to pray. Who is the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit. He's more than just the third person in the Holy Trinity. He is God. And we need the Holy Spirit to live a life of victory, a life of hope. And we need him to change our hearts of stone to our hearts of flesh. If we have been obeying God out of fear, we've been obeying the rules in the Bible just out of fear. I think that will be a very short-term solution. God is pouring out his Spirit. He wants us to obey and to love him, to honor him inwardly. Not just for show, but a deep sense of reverence, a deep sense of love for him and his will. If you have been struggling, even with your Bible reading, living a Christian life at home or in your workplace, in your school, you need the Holy Spirit. Some of you may say, Harley, I had the Holy Spirit when I was baptized. Yes, the Holy Spirit was in you. When you receive Jesus, he sends us the Holy Spirit. It's a deposit. He resides in us. But as we live out our life, sometimes we stop listening to the Holy Spirit. He resides in us, but we don't make him the president of our life. He resides in just one corner of our life. Only on a Sunday or maybe when we need him. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit wants to preside over us 24/7, every day of our life. He wants to guide us, he wants to empower us, he wants to equip us, he wants to teach us. Would you let the Holy Spirit just refresh you right now? Refresh you. We're going to sing this song. Right, as we sing, just pray to God. God, we need you. I need you. I need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. And the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a daily daily things. Sometimes because as I mentioned, sometimes we neglect Him. We just ignore Him. When we talk about infilling, we ask, Holy Spirit, be the president of my life. Preside over me. Fill me afresh. So shall we just rise and let's sing this song.
Give my whole life for what would